West Coast Summer College Training, July 7th through 13th, 2008, Sacramento, California, United States. Title, That I May Gain Christ. Morning Session 1, The Christian Life in Philippians. Message 1, A Life in the Furtherance of the Gospel.
Wow, what a joy to be together. A joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. A joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half
has never yet been told.
Let's declare the title of our whole, what do you call this? Huh? Yeah, but the title of the, what's this? Notebook, amen. 1, 2, 3. That I may
gain Christ.
That I may
gain Christ.
That I may gain
Christ.
I may gain
Christ.
I may gain
Christ.
The whole week gain
Christ.
Every meeting gain
Christ.
Nothing but
Christ.
Amen. And I love this truth, brothers and sisters, from the book of Philippians. The whole week is in the book of Philippians. All I can say is this is going to be a week of feast.
Amen.
I believe this week will be a week of jubilee.
Amen.
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 Let us eat and be merry.
Amen.
It's very interesting. The four books that are called the heart of the divine revelation are Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. But even among those four books, you have two things presented in each book. One is the teaching, or you could say the doctrine concerning the Christian life, the church life, plus the experience. Such as in Ephesians, you have three chapters of revelation, of teaching, but then from 4, 5, and 6, the other half of the book is a walk that's a walk in a responsible way, which is experiential. So you've got these two aspects, the teaching or the doctrine, the revelation, and then you've got the side of experience. But the book of Philippians is not exactly like that. The book of Philippians is 100% on experience. Hallelujah!
Amen.
That doesn't mean there's no truth here. There's lots of truth. But it's all from the experiential angle. All from the experiential angle. And in this morning line, this morning line at this time every day, we want to cover specifically, since this whole training is on Philippians, we have specific lines. And I love this. The line here is a life in the furtherance, the Christian life in Philippians. This is the Christian life in Philippians. Tonight we start a line on the experience of Christ in Philippians. Well, we want to take a look. What's the Christian life? What's it look like? What's the Christian life look like in the book of Philippians? Then, beginning tonight, we get into more detailed experience of Christ specifically. And I think it's very good that we have these lines. So before we do anything, could we read the verses that are called scripture reading on message one of the Christian life in Philippians, a life in the furtherance of the gospel. And this is Philippians chapter 1. There, all the verses are from chapter 1. 1:5, 1:7, 1:12, and 1:27. Okay, could we reread these verses in a strong way? How about sisters verse 5, then brothers verse 7, and then sisters 12, and then brothers 27. Okay, and when the sisters are reading, we brothers are saying, amen.
Amen.
We want to eat the word.
Amen.
Okay, sisters, go.
For your fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel,
Amen.
First day until now.
Amen. 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 Seven brothers.
Even as it is right for me to think this concerning you all, because you have me in your heart, since both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all fellow partakers with me of grace.
Amen.
Now I want you to know, brothers.
Amen. Amen. Everybody, 27, how about? Only conduct yourselves in a manner
worthy of the gospel of Christ, that whether coming and seeing you or being absent, I may hear of the things concerning you, that you stand firm in one spirit, with one soul, striving together along with the faith of the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, ask your neighbor, neighbor, what is the main point in these four verses? This will show whether or not you paid attention when you were reading. Sometimes we just read, blah, 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 amen. Well, we don't really pay attention. Okay, what's the main thread here? One word.
Gospel.
Gospel. Amen. What's the word?
Gospel.
What's the word?
Gospel.
It's kind of weak. What's the word?
Gospel.
Amen. Good news.
Amen.
Jubilee.
Amen.
This Christ as the gospel. Okay. Well, the Christian life in Philippians is a life of the gospel. It's a life of the gospel. And you see this life from these different angles. It's called, in verse 5, fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. A life in fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. And then in verse 7, what do you have? Verse 7, you have a life that's in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Then 12, you have a life that's in the advancement of the gospel. Then in 27, you have a life that is what is worthy of the gospel, that's in absolute oneness with the Lord and with each other. And this kind of life is full of impact and is really a life that enables God to carry out His heart's desire. So we want to see the Christian life in Philippians is a life in the gospel. Before we go any further, brothers and sisters, I'd like to give us seven wonderful passages from the Word that show us the life that we have is such an awesome life of the gospel. Okay? How about we all shout, hallelujah! Christ is my life!
Hallelujah! Christ is my life!
Oh, what kind of a life is he? Oh, let's look. Okay, I'm going to go real quickly. Real quickly. So you can just jot this down. Okay, what kind of life is this? In the book of Matthew, this is a life of come and go. Come and go. Right in the middle of Matthew, it says, chapter 11, verse 28 to 30, says, come to me. You just had a half an hour of morning revival. What'd you do? Come to me. Then I tell you, as you're one with him, what do you do when you're one with him? Go. In the middle, it's come. In the end of Matthew, it says, go. So this life is a life of just come and go, come and go, come and go. Then, there's two parables in Matthew 25. Won't go into details, I'm just touching this main point. The two parables are the parable in chapter 25 of the virgins who are wanting and longing for the Lord as the bridegroom to come back. The virgins are those who are always receiving. So the life overall in the book of Matthew is come and go. Right here in Matthew 25, it's a life of receiving and distributing. The parable of the virgins is they are always receiving the bridegroom as the life-giving oil. Their being is always open to be receiving, paying any price. Oh, bridegroom, fill me! Then the next parable is the parable of the slaves. On one hand, we're the bride. On the other hand, we're the slaves. Wherever we go, we want to distribute. We want to distribute. And it says we need to distribute to the bankers. And if you read the life study, it tells you, who are the bankers? Who do we make deposits to? We make deposits to young ones, new ones, weak ones, backsliding ones, and any ones. And turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're one of the ones. So the life of the gospel is come and go. Oh, the life of the gospel is receive and distribute. Invest. Now, John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, the Lord screamed. He stood up and screamed. And it says in Greek, he was screaming. If anyone thirst, come to me and drink. They said, he who believes into me, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of water of life. So the two words here are drink and flow. Drink and flow. What kind of a life do we experience? It's a life we drink and a life we flow. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So you got come and go, receive and distribute, and drink and flow. Amen. Amen. I'm doing this purposely because this is the life that's the life in Philippians. Okay, number four. The end of the book of John is chapter 21, and the Lord turns to Peter so that Peter could be preserved until the Lord comes, and that Peter could be steady for the sake of God's economy, the building up of the church. So he says, Peter, do two things. Love me and shepherd the sheep. So love and shepherd. Love and shepherd. So I love this other pair. Here you go. Love is, I love, and shepherd. So I enjoy every time I get on an airplane, I walk on a campus or anywhere. Lord Jesus, I love you and I love everybody on this campus. If that's our view, I tell you, you will experience life. Amen. This is a life where we love him and where we are one with him to care for others. Who are the others? Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you're one of the others. Don't think it's somebody, oh, it's way out there. I tell you, don't forget your neighbor. Was that number four? Okay. Okay, number five, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 2. 3:8 says, unto me, less than least of all saints, we are all a piece of nothing. We're less than nothing. We're just a piece of junk. But to me, less than the least of everybody, was this grace given that I might announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable, untraceable riches of Christ. Woo-hoo. Christ is our tremendous portion, and he is just awesomely rich, and he just needs to be announced as the gospel with all of his riches. And I was taking a walk this morning, and I met these two girls walking. And they were exercising pretty well. And I said, wow. I said, I give you an A+. And they said, oh, great. I said, you know what A means? They said, what? I said, amen. Anyway, it turns out, talking with them just for a minute or so, they just came from Louisiana for a conference. And I said, I asked one of her name. And she said, "My name is Joy." I said, "Oh, I got a song for you." "He is joy unspeakable," just sang a little bit. Turned out both of them were sisters who loved the Lord, and we ended by just saying, "Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you."
Amen.
Without any shame, it was just so refreshing. Now, that doesn't happen every time, but with them, it was really precious. But I tell you, that you see verse 2, that we have the unsearchable riches of Christ. He's our joy. Without Christ, there's no joy. And, you know, without Christ, there's not even any air conditioning. Air conditioning means AC, right? AC means always Christ. Otherwise, we're always hot. In a bad way. So verse 2 of chapter 3, what's it say? It says, "If indeed you've heard of the stewardship of the grace of God, which is given to me for you." So here's the pair here is to me for you. So the fifth pair is to me for you. Okay, do you like that? Why don't you tell your neighbor, "Neighbor, Christ is to me for you."
Amen.
Now, 1 Peter 2:2 and 1 Peter 2:5 or 9, I can't remember which it is. Oh, you have two words. You have basically in and out. Wow, as newborn babes, we just suck this milk Christ in. Amen. Amen, oh Lord Jesus. Amen. We drink, drink, drink. Amen. Drinking at the fountain that never runs dry. Drink. Take him in. And then, I can't remember if it's 5 or 9, but we tell out. Tell out all the virtues of him. Drink in and tell out. Amen. So what kind of life do you have? It's called in and out. Not in and out burger. but a flowing life. Then lastly, Revelation 22:17. Revelation 22:17 is, everybody knows that verse, "Do come, oh do come," says Spirit and the Bride. What's it say? "The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Him who hears, let him also say, come. Who wills, let him take freely." Take the water. He who wills, whoever he... How does it say it? I forgot exactly. Thank you, brother, for your Bible. Amen. Thank you very much. I will repay you. Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who is thirsty, come. Let him who wills take the water of life freely. Thank you, brother. Amen. So the first call is a call for the Lord to come. Lord, we want you to come back. The Spirit and the Bride are saying, Lord, come. The second is a yearning for any and every sinner to drink, to take the water of life. So the last pair is call and yearn. Call and yearn. The Bible ends with a fact that if you really want the Lord Jesus to come back, you must have a yearning in your being for every sinner to drink. Otherwise, you become spiritually weird. Oh, we want the Lord to come. We want the Lord to come. We don't care about anyone. We just want the Lord to come. Lord said, no, you don't want me to come. If you want me to come, you will care for sinners to the time you go. So, you got those seven pairs? Okay. So what are they? Come and go.
Amen.
Receive and distribute.
Amen.
Drink and flow.
Amen.
Love and shepherd.
Amen.
Me to you.
Amen.
In and out.
Amen.
Call and yearn.
Amen.
This is the kind of life we have.
Amen.
This is the kind of life we have. This is the life. This is the Christian life in Philippians. So I don't know if you can see it, but I'll just do it real quick. You know, it's a little hard to see way in the back. But you know the song we sing, Christ put on human life. Christ has put on human nature and become a man like me. Died upon the cross that I from Adam might be free. He is risen and a spirit. He's come to, as he's in a spirit, he's risen and spirit in a spirit. He's come to live in me that he might be my life. And when he comes into us to be our life, and he spreads, glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For Christ is now my life. Praise the Lord, saints. This life that we have is called a life that's for the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
This is a spreading life. It's a life to me, for you. It's a life of come and go. It's a life of drink and flow. This is a furthering life. A furthering life. This good news is a good news that wants to spread. Now, here you can see this wonderful God, this wonderful economy of God. What's God's economy? God's economy is that just this wonderful triune God has passed through many steps to become the life-giving spirit so that he could be distributed into us as life and everything to make us his fullness, to make us his increase for his expression. I tell you, if everybody in this room is full of him, then we are one with him and one with each other, and we become him. When you look at this room, you don't look at just a bunch of young people. You look at Christ.
Amen.
So this wonderful Christ, who's gone through all these steps, is dispensing himself as the wonderful, life-giving Spirit. This is God's economy. God's economy is the triune God.
Amen.
Dispensing himself into us as life and everything. What kind of life? Okay. We need to see what kind of vessel we are. What kind of vessel? This is not a very good drawing, but I think you can. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but what kind of vessel are you? You're a channel vessel. Amen. Tell your neighbor, hey neighbor, you're a channel vessel. Wow. In other words, the life we've received is a flowing life. It's a life of fellowship. What's fellowship? Fellowship just means circulating, moving, flowing. To me, for you, drink and flow, in and out, come and go. Love and shepherd. To me, for you. And we, as vessels, are vessels not only to be filled with this life and constituted with this life, but channel vessels.
Amen.
That this life may flay, flow. You know, there's a song we sing, oh, may my spirit flow, oh, may it flow. Everybody that wants their spirit to flow, say amen.
Amen.
That's the kind of life that's in us. I tell you, if you really want to enjoy this wonderful life in Philippians, we need to see what kind of life we have.
Amen.
The vision of life really helps us in the experience of life. So I felt just to begin this way, brothers and sisters, and to give us a little view of what kind of life this life is in Philippians. So now, let's come to the outline, okay, outline number one for this section. The whole book of Philippians is a definition of the gospel, which is the preaching of God's economy And particularly aiming at these four verses that we read, verse 5, verse 7, verse 12, and verse 27. And then you have some other verses there, 2:22, 4:3, and 4:15. And these bring out some other details that we'll touch later. But it's the preaching. The preaching of the gospel is the preaching of God's economy. And it's so good. God's economy, I just repeat again, God's economy, I hope all of you get this in a simple way. God's economy is his plan, number one, to fill us with nothing but Christ. God's economy, number two, is his way. And his way is by becoming flesh, by becoming the life-giving spirit, so he could get into us to be our life and everything. It's by his dispensing. And the goal, his goal in his economy, is the body of Christ. Amen. It's Christ enlarged, consummating as the New Jerusalem. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. So his economy involves his plan and his way and his goal. So tell your neighbor, God's economy involves his plan, his way, and his goal. So now, number one, or A, God, the gospel of God's economy is not simply to have a group of people are forgiven of their sins, justified, washed by the blood of Christ, and regenerated. We appreciate all these details. I would not make these details cheap, but they are not the goal. Not just forgiven of their sins, justified, washed by the blood of Christ, and regenerated. It includes every aspect of the experience of Christ covered in this book. Amen. Every aspect of the experience of Christ covered in this book. And the vision, brothers and sisters, the gospel in Philippians is governed by the controlling vision of God's economy. With what God's economy is, it's the dispensing of nothing and no one but Christ.
Amen.
And God's economy is one goal, not to build up you, not to build up me, not to build up this thing, but nothing but the body of Christ.
Amen.
It's God's economy. Now, B, we're blessed and privileged to participate. In the fellowship, furtherance, defense, confirmation, advancement, and faith of the gospel. These are all words that we read in those four verses, which includes Christ as the one lived out and magnified through us in chapter 1, Christ as our pattern in chapter 2, which we'll touch more, Christ as the goal in chapter 3, and Christ as our inward strength in chapter 4. So the main point here, brothers and sisters, is the gospel of God's economy, look at letter A again, is not simply to have a group of people who are forgiven of their sins, justified, washed by the blood of Christ, regenerated, etc. The gospel of God's economy is a gospel where Christ is everything.
Wow.
And Christ wants to be experienced as everything. Everything. You know, if you summarize God's economy, God's plan, God's way, God's goal, Christ is everything. Christ is the center. Christ is the reality. Christ is the He's the circumference. Christ is the goal. Christ, 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 Christ.
Amen.
So it's not just that, the gospel is just something where we're forgiven and we're justified, and I got regenerated. And no, it's altogether a matter of Christ, 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 even in a very subjective and experiential way. So that we could live what the subject of Philippians is about, a Christ experiencing and a Christ enjoying life.
Amen.
Otherwise, we're just a bunch of people who have been washed by the Lord's blood, were forgiven. And as our brother Lee mentioned one time, the Lord's goal is not just to take a bunch of forgiven sinners to heaven. Because then all you would do is fight anyway. What does he have? He has no expression. He has no expression. He has no testimony. That's not his goal. His goal is that we become him.
Amen.
We become his body, which is just him, for his testimony and his expression. So we want to see Christ in such a precious, subjective way in the book of Philippians. So the gospel in the book of Philippians is the gospel of this life. Oh, that's to me for you. This life that we drink and flow. This life that just wants to circulate. This life which is a flowing life, a fellowship. A life that wants to be furthered. There's a goal of this life. To saturate us, to fill us, to constitute us, to build us up, and to make us the enlargement of Christ.
Amen.
This is the life in Philippians. This is the life, and this is the gospel, brothers and sisters, in the context of God's economy. How about we shout, hallelujah for God's economy.
Hallelujah for God's economy.
Brothers and sisters, quite frankly, without the truth of God's economy, we would not understand anything in the Bible. Nothing makes sense. If we didn't see God's plan, God's way, God's goal, and that Christ is everything in this economy, we would just be messing around with the Bible, everybody doing their own independent, individualistic thing, and the Lord has no way to be furthered. But we are here, according to verse 5, for the furtherance of the gospel. That this Christ could move.
Amen.
We wouldn't just all have some kind of little low gospel that doesn't allow the Lord to be really experienced, and it doesn't allow the church to be built up. The gospel we're talking about is the gospel that allows Christ to be experienced richly.
Amen.
And all of us to become built up.
Amen.
In Christ, so that when you see Brian and I, Andrew and I, John and I, And Stephen and I, what do you see? You see Christ.
Amen.
We just see Christ because we're experiencing. We see this Christ and experience this Christ in such a precious way. So let's read Roman numeral 1 one more time. Go. The whole
book of Philippians is the definition of the gospel, which is the preaching of God's economy.
And that God's economy is the preaching of this Christ.
Amen.
God himself in Christ is his economy.
Amen.
Now, number 2, here's the main burden this morning, saints. The Christ experiencing and Christ enjoying life is a life in the furtherance of the gospel, a gospel preaching life that is not individualistic but corporate. Amen. So, everybody, I've mentioned this before, everybody in this room should be an EE major. Not electrical engineering, but experiencing and enjoying Christ.
Amen.
Everybody that's an EE major, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what Philippians unveils. Philippians unveils the gospel, which is just the rich experience of Christ, and this Christ who flows and circulates and moves and spreads and furthers himself, and this book unveils a Christ experiencing and Christ enjoying life.
Amen.
I didn't know about this life, but I experienced this life a little bit accidentally. It's a gospel preaching life. That's before I came into the Lord's recovery. A gospel preaching life that's not individualistic, but corporate. Okay, let's go through these points. This kind of fellowship which kept the believers from being individualistic and diversely minded implies that they were one with the Apostle Paul and with one another, and this gave them the ground for their experience and enjoyment of Christ, which is the main point of this book. Brothers and sisters, we want to experience and enjoy Christ to the uttermost. If you really want to experience him, you need to be able to give him the ground. And the ground is to be brought into this fellowship, this fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, the gospel would be furthered, but we would experience and preach the gospel, but not just individualistically, but in a coordinated corporate way. The ground to experience and enjoy Christ is found in the genuine oneness. It's coordination with each other. It's fellowship with each other. And that fellowship, you know what it means? It means we really love one another. And I tell you, when we're really one with each other, we're really in fellowship with each other, we're really love one another in a genuine way, that is a strong testimony that will turn unbelievers to believers. That's a strong testimony with impact that causes Satan to be bound.
Amen.
And people that you cannot believe would be converted, get converted.
Amen.
Otherwise, we remain individualistically, remain full of unbelief. Oh, that guy could never be saved. That person could never be saved. I don't know who on this campus could be saved, except me. But I tell you, when you enjoy this fellowship under the furtherance of the gospel, this oneness in the body, not only with the Lord, but with one another, in a way of twos and threes, and this will be touched in your next fellowship, your next meeting, then you have the ground. You have the ground for your experience and enjoyment of Christ. Before I came to the church life, brothers and sisters, I had this experience. You may have heard this, but I was in a denomination. Some of us were fed up with the system, even within the denomination, even the pastor himself. He said, what can we do? It's kind of like everybody was saying, what can we do to get out of this ritualistic system? What can we do? So seven of us, just brothers, got together with this young pastor, and we didn't know what to do. We just got together on Monday nights and just prayed. We didn't know what to do. And eventually, not only did we pray, but we decided, let's get into the Word. So we were just doing our best. And the Lord honored that. There was something happening we didn't understand. And then we said, now, we also just felt led by the Lord to go out by twos to announce the gospel. And my partner, I was 18, my partner was Doc Bainham, doctor, he was a doctor, and he was 77. And he had just been saved for a few years, but he really loved the Lord. He was my partner, he and I. So we went out, and we just went out many doors, many people in the town where we lived in Pittsburgh, a lot of Catholics, knock on the door, and we say something about Christ. They say, I'm a Catholic, and that means that I'm not open. So we were praying one time, and the Lord just touched us. We just had fellowship. We were in one accord. Yeah, let's do this. Lady opened the door, and we said something about Christ. She says, I'm a Catholic. And I looked at her, and I said, we're Catholics too. We're not Roman Catholic. You know, Catholic means general, Christian. But Roman Catholics, not good. But we're Catholic. It's not a bad word. I said, we're also Catholics. We love the Lord Jesus. She said, oh, okay, come on in. Anyway, we had a wonderful time. And she realized we weren't Roman Catholic. But we found out about this one man that we realized was a very hard case. His name was Henry Vitus, and had threatened Christians who came to his house with harm. And Doc and I just had a burden for him. And we prayed on and off, and even fasted at times, for 2 weeks. Then the day came to visit him. We went to the door. His wife opened the door, and she had a broom in her hand. And we told her, we are Christians. We love the Lord Jesus, and we want to speak to your husband about the Lord. And she made all kinds of excuses and something, and Doc said some kind of thing. I don't remember what he said. It was some kind of silly thing. And I thought, oh, Doc, why did you say that? But after he said it, she says, okay, come on in. So I said, okay, Lord, amen. So we got in there, and then he came out, and both of us are just wondering. And we'd been praying. He sat down with this, you know, look on his face. TV was on. And we just began to speak, giving him testimony. We didn't know what we were doing. We don't know much Bible. Doc would take time. I'd take time. We'd take turns. One time Doc's talking to him, and I saw the TV was on, a football game. And I noticed he was being distracted. So I just said, I put my head down, and I said, Lord, what about that TV? And all of a sudden, loud noise, nothing but lines on the screen. And his wife came from the other room, and she said, let me turn that off. And I said, amen. About 15 minutes later, after more speaking, Henry Vitus got saved.
Amen.
I tell you, we were the happiest two people. Doc had a 55 Chevrolet standard shift. He was so happy he couldn't let the clutch out. What we were touching this factor,
right.
A fellowship under the furtherance. There was a oneness in the Lord between the two of us, so there was impact. There was love. There was oneness. That love, and that is the turning point. And that allows our prayers to be effective. That allows Satan to be bound.
Amen.
That allows vessels to be released from the strong man's house.
Amen.
To be brought into the kingdom of God. The more fellowship we have in the furtherance of the gospel, the more Christ we experience and enjoy. This kills our self, ambition, preference, and choice. So, brothers and sisters, the gospel is not something, okay, I have determined, I will preach the gospel, and we just do everything individualistically. You'll last about, maybe an hour. Not long. But I tell you, in the body, in fellowship, remember Paul said, I thank God for your fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel. What happened? Paul was in another country preaching the gospel and in need, so much need, but the Philippian believers were in fellowship working with him. They were in coordination with him. They were delivering to him even material gifts to supply him. And he said, your material gifts were the real joy to me. The happiness. That was Christ coming to him. Christ supplying. So Paul and the Philippians were working together in fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel.
Amen.
Their oneness is what allowed the Lord to move.
Amen.
And what allowed the Lord to spread himself further on this earth. The Philippian believers participated with the Apostle Paul in fellowship unto the furtherance of the gospel by their financial contributions to the apostle, which became a sweet-smelling savor and an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Underline that little phrase, well-pleasing to God.
Amen.
You know what well-pleasing to God is? There's only one thing well-pleasing to God, that's Christ.
Amen.
So when we have fellowship with one another, we work with one another, brothers and sisters, that oneness, which is just the oneness in Christ, is well-pleasing. That's well-pleasing to God. The only thing well-pleasing to God is our experiencing Christ.
Amen.
And our experience of Christ needs our fellowship with each other.
Amen.
So that our living is just the living of Christ. Paul said, for to me to live is Christ.
Amen.
Paul preached and suffered for the defense and confirmation of the gospel because he cared solely for the interests and accomplishments of God's economy on the earth. Saints, this is wonderful that Paul didn't care for himself. He was not here. I want to be a successful preacher. Have you ever heard of Pastor Paul? Apostle Paul? Reverend Paul? No, he cared for nothing like that. He cared for nothing except to be a slave. He just cared for the furtherance of the gospel and the carrying out of God's economy.
Amen.
He just cared that this wonderful flowing Christ would be flowing into him, through him, and in a coordinated with others, flowing out for the sake of the goal of God's economy, the body of Christ. You know, there's all kinds of... Paul's preaching of the gospel involved defending the gospel. And there's so many details in this, we don't have the time. You know, even a Jehovah Witness comes to your door. Don't ever waste your time. Waste your time. Before they say anything, just say, before you say one word, just get down on your knees with me right now. Say, Jesus is Jehovah.
Amen.
Some Mormons came to the door one time, and I said, before you say anything, I said, let's get down on our knees right now. You know, they say Jesus Christ appeared in America sometime in the 1800s or whatever. This is a lie from the pit of hell. This is from Satan. They have another Jesus Christ. I said, let's get down on our knees right now. And I said, you know, if you don't confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be cast into the lake of fire. And you know what? We'll also go into the lake of fire. The first thing after unbelievers is false books. That book you're hiding behind your hand, behind your back. They were holding the Book of Mormon. I said, that's going to go into the lake of fire too. But I got so released because I was defending the gospel.
Amen.
And they couldn't help but realize I'm joyful. On one hand, I'm angry. On the other hand, I'm happy. Oh, Jesus!
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Let's stand up and shout, hallelujah, what a Jesus we have.
Hallelujah! What a Jesus we have!
Thank you, thank you. On the positive side, the confirmation of the gospel... Sorry, on the negative side, we must defend the gospel against the perversion and distortion of today's religion. Religion has bent the gospel, but our job is to announce the gospel according to God's economy.
Amen.
Not according to perversion. On the positive side, the confirmation of the gospel is for the announcing of the revelations of the two mysteries of the epistles, Christ as the mystery of God and the church as the mystery of Christ. Ooh, Christ wants to be our life, our content, our everything. And when this is the case, then what happens? He has the second mystery, which is the body of Christ. Amen. Christ is the mystery of God.
Amen.
You know who we are? We're the mystery of Christ.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, neighbor, we are the mystery of Christ.
Amen.
This is the gospel. The gospel is announcing these two mysteries. Now, Paul's sufferings resulted in the advancement of the gospel as a pioneer cuts the way for an army to march forward. Praise the Lord for our brother Paul. Today we're marching on the way cut by Paul in his sufferings for the gospel so the church may advance forward. May advance. Two, our suffering for the gospel today positions us to share and enjoy the process triune God as grace. And encourages, strengthens, and stirs up the saints to speak the word of God with boldness.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, Paul said in Colossians 1:24, I rejoice in my sufferings.
Amen.
Why was he suffering? Because he was suffering for Christ and the body of Christ. He was not there to be a successful preacher. He cared for nothing but God's economy.
Amen.
So even the difficult things, the hard things, the attacks all rejoiced in joy, all resulted in joy. In other words, every time suffering came, more grace came. He was richly supplied in every difficult circumstance. Wow, he was encouraged, strengthened, and stirred up to speak the word with even more boldness. Amen. Praise the Lord. All cell phones should be off. Amen. Amen. I don't know whose that was, but anyway. Okay. Can you imagine the disciples, the 12, were with Jesus, and Peter said, oh, hold on, I got a call. Anyway, this is a training. So I'm glad it happened. I don't know who it was, but whoever it happened to, that's okay. Don't feel embarrassed. It's good. So this is a training. This is a good thing for us to learn. But can you imagine Peter, James, John? Oh, I'll see you later. Oh, wait a minute. We want to be trained just to really stick with the Lord, His Word, to be one with Him, and be trained by His speaking.
Amen.
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 So now, saints, we come to the third Roman numeral. We need to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ by standing firm in one spirit with one soul, striving together along with the faith of the gospel. Amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, we're all in one spirit. All of us love to exercise the spirit. How about we shout, hallelujah for oneness in our spirit.
Hallelujah for oneness in our spirit.
But the Lord wants us to have fellowship with each other and enjoy the Lord together with each other to the point where we're one in our thinking, one in our feeling, one in our decision. That's where impact is. That's where power is. That's where Satan will be defeated. My wife and I, one time after we came into the church life, my wife's parents were having a 50th wedding anniversary, which is a big thing. And the whole family was coming. And my wife and I did not know what to do, but we were having them on the West Coast in our home in Long Beach at that time. And my wife and I just prayed and opened to the Lord, and we're enjoying the Lord. But we just said, Lord, what to do? What do we do? What can we do? Because most have this idea of just celebrating 50th anniversary. But our burden was beyond that. Our burden was for God's economy. How can you move? How can you further yourself? So the Lord led us in a certain way out of praying and fellowshipping. Just my wife and I, we were just in one accord. Then it came time. The dinner was put on the table. Several saints even cooked. And Dennis Higashi's father and mother were there to cook and to serve. And they just poured out in love, put the food on the table. And then I gave my father-in-law the Bible. And I said, Pop, I said, would you read these two verses before we pray, before this meal? And he read, what shall I give to the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And we began to pray. There was not a dry eye at the table. Some at the table, particularly my sister-in-law, who was a psychology major and everything, she got saved instantly. Why? Because there was a way, because my wife and I were in one spirit and with one soul for the furtherance of the gospel. And this was a real term to my brother-in-law. None of us can forget that day. So, brothers and sisters, this is a tremendous point. The book of Philippians is a book on the gospel. And the life in Philippians is the life of the gospel. But this life is under the furtherance, in coordination, and with a proper conduct. The conduct is one accord. Okay, let's read A and B together with a strong spirit. Go. Amen. So to care for the gospel according to God's economy, we want the life in our spirit, but we want this life to pervade our soul.
Amen.
So that we could be in one spirit.
Amen.
and with one soul, striving together along with the faith of the gospel. That's the very person of Christ himself. So, brothers and sisters, this is a life, the Christian life in Philippians. This is a life in the furtherance of the gospel. Hallelujah for this life.
Amen.
Amen. Christ is now my life. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. For Christ is now my life. What are the seven prayers? Read them with a strong spirit. Go. Receive and distribute, drink and flow, love and shepherd, to me for you, in and out, call and yearn. Amen. This is the life of the gospel, the life of the gospel in the book of Philippians. And this life is a life in coordination with each other, a life in fellowship for the furtherance of the gospel, and a life with a worthy conduct.
Amen.
In oneness, in one accord.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we need to end at 10:30.
Right.
So we have 5 minutes.
Right.
So I think what we should do is use 5 minutes. How about 30 seconds, 20 seconds, just pray with your neighbor for one, just to get your spirit going.
Right.
Okay, 20 seconds, then I'll tell you what to do. Go. Okay. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Saints, I didn't mention it, but you know, even suppose Stephen and I were out on UCLA, suppose we're passing out tracts together. My burden, whoever I'm out there with, is that even we too are in the enjoyment of Christ.
Amen.
We're not just out there doing something, but we have one accord. We love one another. I tell you, that's impact. Even if you're lousy at speaking, the impact is there.
Amen.
Satan will be defeated.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, saints, how about we use 4 minutes now? Stand up one by one. Is that right? The microphones? Microphone. Okay, put microphones up here. And you're only allowed to come up and speak one sentence.
Amen.
It's a good way to release your spirit.
Amen.
Okay, everybody that would like to release one sentence, stand up and go up there.